When they returned to the village, it was deserted. The midday heat beat down, and the air seemed too thick to breathe. Even the children were out of sight. But the villagers were busy in their huts, cooking and baking, and their excited voices could be heard behind the colorful curtains. "The whole village is expecting you to bring us luck," Zubaida told Firedrake on the way to her hut. "They believe that dragon scales shed good luck like gold dust. They think it will settle on our rooftops and in the nets of our fishermen, and stay with us long after you and your friends have flown away."
"We must leave tonight," said Firedrake. "The sooner we start, the harder it will be for Nettlebrand to follow us."
Zubaida nodded. "Yes, you are right. But if I am to help you outwit the moon when it is dark, you must wait until it is high in the sky tonight. Come with me."
She led Firedrake and the others around behind her hut, where she had fenced in a plot of land. She had been growing flowers there, flowers with prickly leaves and tightly closed buds.
"As you all know, most plants need sunlight to live and grow," explains Zubaida, leaning on the fence. "This flower is different. It lives on the light of the moon."
"Extraordinary," murmured Barnabas Greenbloom.
Vita leaned over the fence for a closer view of the strange plants. "I've never seen a flower like that before, Zubaida," she said. "Where did you find it?"
The dracologist smiled.
"I found the seeds up there in the Dragon Rider's tomb. The plants that must once have lain there fell to dust long ago, but the seeds were still scattered around the sarcophagus. So I collected them, soaked them in water for a few days, and then sowed them here. You see the results before you. The petals we walked on in the tomb are the remains of my last harvest. I dry the flowers up there to get new seed. I've called them dragon flowers. What else?"
Zubaida Khalib smiled and stroked one of the tightly closed buds.
"They only open in moonlight. And then the blue flowers are so fragrant that moths come flying around them as if they were lamps. But most wonderful of all, the longer the moon shines down on them, the brighter they glow, until the moonlight collects on their petals and leaves like dewdrops."
"Amazing!"
Barnabas Greenbloom looked at the dragonflowers, fascinated.
"Did you discover that by chance, or did someone tell you about these plants?"
"Can you say exactly what chance means, Barnabas?" replied Zubaida.
"I remembered the age-old stories in which dragons once flew through the sky even by day. But only the oldest stories have altered that tale. Why?" I asked myself. "How was it that a time came when dragons could fly only by moonlight?"
I looked for an answer in the inscriptions up at the tomb,
and it was there, call it by chance if you like, that I found the seeds. I believe the Dragon Rider was on the track of the secret himself. After all, the dragon who cured him with dragon fire came on a moonless night, didn't he?"
She looked into Firedrake's golden eyes.
"I believe these flowers gave that dragon the strength to fly, and the dew that collects on them has the power of the moon in it."
"You think so?"
Sorrel scrambled under the fence and sniffed the prickly leaves. "But you never tried it out, have you?" The dracologist shook her head.
"How could I? Firedrake is the first live dragon I've ever met, and there's no other creature that can rise in the air only with the aid of moonlight." "You hear that?" Sorrel turned to Firedrake. "You might just easily fall out of the sky like a stone if you put your faith in these prickly things."
Firedrake shook his wings. "Perhaps we won't need their help, Sorrel. Perhaps we will have reached the rim of heaven long before the next dark time of the moon. But suppose there's another eclipse, like the one over the sea? Suppose the moon disappears while we're above the mountains?"
Sorrel shook herself.
"Oh, all right, you have a point."
She plucked a leaf from a flower and nibbled the tip of it suspiciously. "Doesn't taste bad. More like catmint than moonlight, though, if you ask me."
"Do I have to eat them?" Firedrake asked the dracologist. Zubaida shook her head.
"No. You just have to lick the dew off the leaves and petals. But as I can't give you the flowers to take with you, I've been collecting moon dew from them since Barnabas told me about you. I'll collect more tonight, and then I can give you a full bottle to take on your flight. If the moon deserts you, one of your friends must put a few drops on your tongue. I think you'll be able to tell how much you need. The dew will stay clear as water until the next full moon. when it will turn cloudy. So if you need any more for your flight home to the north, you must visit me again on the way.
Fardrick nodded. He looked at the horizon thoughtfully. I can hardly wait, he said quietly. I long to see the rim of heaven at last.